four that we call the season of Advent. How many know what Advent is? Okay, all the former Catholics raising their hands. Nothing on Catholics. It's just that we weren't raised in those traditions here. And a lot of our Catholic brothers and sisters were raised that way. Well, Advent is the season of Christmas. And each Sunday of Advent, there's a focus on a different part of the Christ story. And up here in the front, there's one candle lit to represent this is the first week. And we wanted to kind of change the sanctuary around a little bit, therefore the tables and the different seating, just to kind of make it more of a family room type of an environment so that we could not just look like straightforward as we sit shoulder to shoulder, but maybe just create an atmosphere where we can remember Christ better in a more relational type setting. And I want to read to you the scripture that is most commonly associated with this first week of Advent. This first week focuses on the prophecy. The prophecy that God gave to his people, letting them know that he hadn't forgotten them. That he's going to send his son. There would be a ruler, a king, and he's going to come for the salvation of souls. Let me read this to you. Out of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's powerful, isn't it? Something between, I don't know the dates quite right. Maybe, where's Glenn, my resident scholar? There he is, Isaiah. When did he write that? How many years before the coming of Christ? Maybe 800 years before Jesus was born. How many remember what was said back in the 1200s? That's 800 years. Okay, one guy, Charlie. Willis is not standing because he remembers, he's counting. No, it's not Willis standing. That's a long time ago. How many know when God promises something, he keeps his promises? He said 800 years prior to the birth of Christ, there's going to come a son. Upon him, the government will rest. Upon him will be the establishment of justice and righteousness. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, when Jesus Christ came, did all those things appear to the world? Well, yes, but there's still more to come. Amen? Right now, the government isn't full of righteousness and justice. Our global situation isn't a place that the Prince of Peace has full dominion over. He's given that over for a short time to the Prince of Darkness. But when God keeps his promises, he keeps his promises. Amen? You see, folks, Christianity isn't something that we do because it works. We do it because it's true. And because it's true, it works. There's going to be a day in our future yet when the promises of God will be fulfilled in its entirety. When from that time on forever, he will establish his kingdom. Oh, it's already established. We just haven't seen the fulfillment yet. We're celebrating today on the first Sunday of Advent, the promises that God made. 800 years later, Jesus Christ was born, providing redemption, adoption, reconciliation between us and God. There's a day yet coming. I don't know when it's going to come, but I guarantee you it's coming. When our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. In the same way he promised once, he promised again. And that's the day we're awaiting. And while we wait, we serve each other. We minister to each other. And we watch God's hand touch people's lives. How many lives have been touched by the power of the risen Christ today? Mine too. Today we have the privilege of being ministered to by such people that have had their lives changed in miraculous ways. The ministry of Teen Challenge is a phenomenal ministry. Over 50, almost close to 60 years, almost 60 years, a couple years shy, this ministry has been in functioning. And today it is the most effective, powerful drug and alcohol rehabilitation program on the planet. No, bar none. When most programs boast a 15 to 20% rate, Teen Challenge boasts, for those that complete the program, upwards of 85% success rate. The reason being is because it's based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is a transformer, amen? That's what He does. And so we are so delighted as we do every Thanksgiving season. There's nothing better for me to have Thanksgiving and then have a Sunday of Thanksgiving over life change. I love that. That's how we like to bring the group every single year. And so I want to turn the service right now over to Spencer and Kim and the Teen Challenge Choir. Guys, come on up. Abundant Life, give them a hand as they come.
Well, good morning, second service.
Good morning, Spencer.
If your church is anything like my church, there's a special energy that comes with second service. I think it's because we're fully awake now. Everybody's gotten the fills. We've got our coffee, and amen. Well, I'm so happy to be here with you this morning. My name's Spencer Kilgore. I'm the director for South Bay Teen Challenge. Our motto is that freedom lives here, hope is found here, and changed lives leave here. If you're not familiar with Teen Challenge is a ministry that was founded back in the late 50s by the Reverend David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson, by all accounts, was a country boy. He was a pastor in rural Pennsylvania. And he was reading a magazine and seen an article about teenagers who were on trial for murder in New York City. And in an act of obedience, Pastor David Wilkerson got in his car and he went to New York to try to do something about it. And by God's grace and some hard work in those early years, the first Teen Challenge ministry sprouted up around 1958 in Spanish Harlem. Back then we called it teenage evangelism. And of course, as the vision has grown and expanded, as of this morning, we're so excited to announce to you, church, that we have over 250 residential Teen Challenge ministries to see addicts and alcoholics set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a missions project, Teen Challenge has also gone globally, and we also support over 1,000 Teen Challenge ministries globally to see families restored and addicts and alcoholics get set free by the gospel. Give one more round of applause for that this morning. Well, the group that's going to come and minister to you this morning is going to be representatives from the Bay Area Teen Challenge Centers. And a little further north here in Oakland, we have the East Bay Oakland Men's Program. We have about 40 beds available for adult men that have been willing to say that they're done with the old way of life. They're ready to be a new creation. They're going to surrender and give their life over to God and just to let the healing hand of the Lord change them from the inside out. If you would, please give a warm round of applause for our men from the East Bay Men's Program. In a little closer to home, we have South Bay Teen Challenge. That's home of the Alum Rock Women and Children's Center. We currently have 16 beds available for women and children to go through our year-long program here in South Bay. South Bay Teen Challenge is also home to one of the only Teen Challenge family ministries of its kind. We have a 13-unit apartment complex, and we have the housing and staffing to accommodate married couples with children so mom and dad can go through the discipleship program together with the kids intact. If you would, give a warm round of applause for San Jose this morning. Now, the thing is about Teen Challenge is that when you come and you applaud us, we know in Teen Challenge that all we do is we take that praise and we turn it right back to the cross. Amen. Because the Teen Challenge is a little different than a rehab. You know, we're not a clinical program. And the Teen Challenge program has been able to succeed where the social sciences have not. And that's because there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, without any more rambling for me, I'm going to hand this back over to the choir, and this morning I'll just mention a few more things, and that's number one, just excited to be here. Thank you for having us. Number two, we're not professional singers, but we are worshipers. Amen. So all that we ask of you is that when I hand this over and the choir ministers to you and just gives praises to God for what he's done in their life, that you would stand and join us. If you're able-bodied and willing, we would love to have you do that with us this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this back over to the Teen Challenge Northwest Cal Nevada Choir. God bless you, Second Service. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Everybody up here, we were once lost, afraid, and in need of help. But since God and Teen Challenge, everybody up here has hope in front of us.
Struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places, whoa. But I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light I still see.
I'm 21 years old, and I grew up in a really good, loving Christian home. I never had a lot or too much, but I always had just what I needed, and I'm very blessed. I was very blessed growing up, and By the time I was in high school, I just wanted to feel a part of something. I wanted to feel accepted and have friends. And so I started drinking on the weekends. I started doing drugs on the weekends just to hang out, you know. And by the time I graduated high school, I started working full-time, 40 hours a week. And I loved it. And I met a guy there, and we started using drugs every day. And I got pregnant with my son at 18. I then had my daughter at 19. And then because of our addiction, and it was just so strong and deep down in there, that I lost both my children due to my drug habits and his. And we both lost them to CPS. And that's something that I never, ever even expected to ever happen to me. And so losing them was really hard for me. I felt like I didn't have a reason to live anymore. I didn't even know why I was even here. And so I became homeless, living on the streets. And I just really wanted to end my life, so I started shooting up heroin every single day. And somebody along the way, somebody God had sent to me, told me about Teen Challenge. And I've been here for about 10 months now. And Teen Challenge has really been a blessing to me. I'm learning how to become an adult. I'm learning how to become independent. And I now know why I am here on this earth. I now know my reason for being. And the verse that I stand on is Psalms 37:5, and it's the message version. And it says, God has a reason for allowing things to happen. We may never understand his wisdom, but we simply have to trust his will. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Abraham. What's going on? How you doing? I'm 21 years old. I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. I grew up with my grandmother. She adopted me, you know, when I was like 2 years old. From there, it was me and my brothers with her. Didn't know my mom. She was, you know, addicted to drugs and stuff. My dad was there for about 2 years, from like 6 to 8. He left due to his, like, gang stuff he was in. It was kind of rough growing up, you know, just the people I was surrounded with. Well, the area I was living in at Las Vegas, you know, nothing but gang stuff you see around there, you know, drugs and stuff like that. By the time I was 15, I started smoking marijuana every day and drinking alcohol. Started hitting up parties, casinos, things like that. Started using more drugs as the years progressed, pills, ecstasy, coke, things like that, promethazine. Whatever it was, you know, I was just trying to be cool, I guess, with the friends that I was surrounded with. Started, you know, getting involved in music and stuff like that. And that influential, like, lifestyle, music is a big part, you know, that truthfully, when you listen to that type of stuff and your behavior starts changing, you just turn into a negative influence, and that was the people I was surrounded with. And it truly isn't cool at all, you know, not at all. And I went to church one day, a church that I haven't been to since I was like the age of 12. And by the grace of God, he gave me a place called Teen Challenge. And I'm here now. Amen. And so far I've been here for 4.5 months. And without God's help, you know, I couldn't be able to do it. Without God's help, I wouldn't be able to keep continue doing it. Since being here, I've been doing a bunch of outreaches, on choir, you know, going to different churches, singing, things like that. It's just a positive influence in my life, helping me rebuild my relationship with my grandmother and my brothers as well, building a relationship with the Lord, most importantly. The verse that I stand on is Psalms 119:105. I'm going to use Jesus in this. The King James Version says that word, but I'm going to use Jesus. It says, Jesus is a light, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be able to be here. I wouldn't be able to do anything. And I'm just grateful for this opportunity that God has blessed me with.
As we continue to bless you in song and testimony for the glory of our God, we're holding nothing back. Amen.
Target dodging bullets. I'm exhausted. How can every moment be this?
Hi, how's everybody doing today? My name is Bryant, and I'm 26 years old. I was born a product of a rape, and for the first 2 years of my life, my mother tried to raise me up, but she just couldn't handle the pain of doing so. So I went to some pretty rough foster homes right off the bat, and by the time I was age six, I was adopted to a family that pretty much let me know right away that I was just a check. But I had a adopted brother that was 8 years older than me that I looked up to. I wanted to be just like him. And because of that, I started doing drugs at the age of nine with him and his friends. By the time I was age 12, I started getting incarcerated and was hooked on heroin. By the time I was 15, I started getting involved in gang activity and just the lifestyle that goes along with that. When I was 18, I overdosed on heroin to the point where I died for 10 minutes. I talked to the doctors a couple days after that, and they let me know that once you die after 6 minutes like that, you're a vegetable, you're done. That didn't happen to me. God had plans for my life. He had his hand on me. But I didn't want to see it that way yet. I knew that I wanted to live a different life, but I still wanted to live it the way that I wanted to live it. So I ended up doing really good for 3 years, and I ended up getting married, having kids. But within the first 6 months of that marriage, I started using methamphetamine with my wife's stepdad on the weekends. Just as life went on and everything, I began to use more and more through the struggles. I ended up getting back into gang activity and everything that goes along with that, which is crime. That crime eventually caught up with me, and I ended up doing a prison term. When I got out from that prison term, I'd lost everything. I'd gotten divorced. I'd lost my kids while being inside. And I had this mentality about me that I just wanted to be the best of the worst. I didn't care anymore. And I remember after I got out, I lived that out. And I did some really awful things. And I was in the park one night getting ready to go do more bad things. And God just came into my life. I felt this bolt of energy just go through my body, and I fell to my knees, and I couldn't move. And I just heard this voice that said, "This is not why I created you. You're not going to go do this. These are not the plans I have for you." I fought it for about 20 minutes, just crying. But God was not having it. I ended up coming to Teen Challenge 2 days later. I've been in Teen Challenge now for just about 10 months. God's just working in my life. He's restoring things back to me I never thought could happen. I just found out this Thanksgiving that more than likely I'm going to be able to see my kids pretty soon. The one thing that I've learned through being here, though, is that I have a heavenly Father that loves me and cares for me and adores me more than I could ever understand. Even though I don't have that fleshly mother and father, I don't need that. And I have a family right here behind me that supports me 100%. He's just taken that pain, that hate, and that anger that I once had and taken it away from me. I now have a peace and a joy and understanding that I never thought was possible. I stand on the verse Romans 12:2, which is, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." I stand on that because each and every day, God transforms me and renews me just a little bit more. Thank you, guys.
Hello, everybody. My name is Monique. I am 35 years old and from Fresno, California. What I can say, as a young age, I knew fear. That's what the enemy continuously, I was defeated by fear. I saw my father, who was a heroin addict, he overdosed at a very young age, and I saw that. And my mom was codependent. So in my adolescent years, I did what I wanted, when I wanted, as I pleased. But the fact of that, growing up, I just wanted acceptance. I went through GATE classes. I had AP classes in high school, but I lived a facade. On the other hand, I was selling drugs, doing crime, and just doing basically stuff that a young woman shouldn't be doing. As a young adult, I could no longer blame my mother or the situations that happened. I had to take responsibility, but I didn't. I continued in the fact of that I was a full-blown meth addict at age 14. And I tried to find fulfillment within drugs, sex, men, relationships, and try to fill that pride because I had a lot of pride and a lot of abandonment issues and rejection. And the fact of that, failed marriages through my addiction. And then through a period of sobriety, I was able to study abroad. The Lord blessed me with my own business. But I didn't feel worthy of nothing. I never felt worthy. I self-sabotaged everything because of the fear. Fear of success, fear of a good marriage, fear of being a great mom. And finally, I surrendered. And my addiction went so bad to where I knew that I needed more help. I tried to always do it on my own with other things. And I came to Teen Challenge. And see, church, I had religion. In religion, I condemned myself for everything. But I found relationship at Teen Challenge. That's the difference. You know, and I found Jesus. And he loves me the way I am. He loves me unconditionally when I couldn't even love myself. And I asked my son, you know, are you embarrassed of me because of my addiction? He's 15, awesome kid. And he's like, no, you know what? You sacrifice your life so I don't ever have to do drugs or alcohol, Mom. And you know what? Today, I know that Teen Challenge, what they did for me was it was an opportunity for me to find myself. Today, I know that I will be successful. And I know that what I went through, whether it was domestic violence, being attacked, PTSD, I am delivered today. And I am redeemed today. And it's not in vain. I can help the next person. And I'm just grateful. I finish in 2 weeks. And the fact is, I am going to be an intern to give back so I can give love that was freely given to me here. And the scripture I stand on, Romans 8:6, that if you set your mind on your flesh is fear and death. But if you set your mind on your spirit, it's life and peace. Today I have life and I have peace. Thank you. So I'm back. Many of us went through a journey. There was bumps, bruises. Many of us got wounded on the way, whether it was through or from other people. But what I can say is only because of the cross and only because of Jesus on Calvary that we up here are all now flawless. So thank you.
Thank you.
Second Service. Give them one more round of applause. Amen. You know, it's amazing what God can do with a surrendered life. You know, I've been with Teen Challenge since 2010. I'm a Teen Challenge graduate. My whole walk with God began in Teen Challenge. My sobriety began with Teen Challenge. And, you know, I can tell you that the Teen Challenge program works. And the Teen Challenge program works because the gospel works. And the power of God works. Amen. You know what? We're so glad to be able to come out here and just to share with you. And, you know, the joy and the honor is truly ours for being able to come here and just to share on just what God can do with a surrendered life. And just really excited to be here. A couple things that I'll mention to you guys before I turn this over to Pastor Greg. Number one, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for the volunteers that have come to our centers on Alum Rock and on North 26th Street and have come and helped out. Teen Challenge Christmas party is coming up on the 11th. We need gift wrappers to come out and help and wrap gifts that the local community is providing for us to give away for our Christmas party. And so if you're interested in that, please come and see us out at our booth outside. Also, we have literature. If you or someone that you know needs help, we do have beds available in Oakland, San Jose, Reno, and Vegas. And also, forgot to mention earlier that in the spring, we will be opening up another adolescent girls' center with a focus on young ladies that have been rescued out of the sex trafficking industry. And so just amazes me how God continues to meet the need and just blown away at his faithfulness and just being able to have us open up more centers to help more people in Northern California and Nevada. And so please continue to keep us in prayers, guys. We need it. We're counting on you just to labor in prayer for us, for our ministry. And lastly, if there's anything we can do for you after service, please don't be shy. Come and track us down. We want to be able to be here to pray for you. If there's anything that we can do, if there's someone that you know that needs help, please don't hesitate to come and see us after service. And Pastor Greg, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for the invite, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Thanks again, Teen Challenge, for coming. We are blessed every single year, and thank God for you. I found out earlier today that the majority of the students that you see here were not here last year. So within the last 12 months, there's been some dynamic life transformation. And that's my favorite part. Next year, we'll see a whole new group of people that right now don't know where to turn. Don't know where to go, don't know there's hope, don't know there's a God who loves them, but they'll be standing on the stage, Lord willing, telling their story. And that's why we support Teen Challenge. It's an awesome, awesome work of God. Now here's what I know, as we get ready to close this service. It's very simple for those of us that are regular abundant lifers to kind of think us and them. When Teen Challenge comes. Oh, look at those guys. Isn't it wonderful how God saved them? I'm so glad God rescued them. I'm so glad God touched their lives and rescued them out of that mess of a life that they were in. And I hear Jesus' words spinning in my mind. What are you doing trying to remove the speck out of somebody else's eye when you got a log in your own eye? Because you see, the things that the students have been rescued from and are being rescued from are easily identifiable. It's pretty easy to see a life that's messed up on heroin or meth. It's pretty easy to see a life messed up by gang involvement and things like that. You know what's harder to see? A life messed up by a pursuit of money. It's harder to see a life messed up by a pursuit of some career advancement or an internal hidden thing of discouragement or depression, bitterness, judgmentalism, prejudice, and the list can go on, gossip. And no one would ever know. It's really easy to hide those kind of things. It's really easy to put on the happy face. Go, everything's great. And you and God, and the devil himself knows it isn't great. But it's easy to cover it up. It's easy to hide it. So I love when Teen Challenge comes because of God's rescuing power is made visible. But it always convicts me in that how many people in our church family need God's life-changing power, but for some reason either don't think they need it or think they can cover it up pretty effectively. I'll guarantee you this, there's no more lost person than the person who either doesn't know they're lost or the person who knows they're lost but doesn't want to be found. And some of the sins that we deal with that's not drug addiction and not alcohol addiction and not sex addiction are some of the things that we think we can live with. And the fact is, that's not true. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it doesn't matter what brand of sin it is, it's still lethal. You'd be amazed at how many people come into my office over the, have come into my office over the years, and I would have never dreamed, except for in the privacy of a conversation, that the life has been exposed. You'd never know. I never knew until he decided to get vulnerable. Here's what I want from us this morning. As the students came, and they were pretty vulnerable on stage, talking about some things that are very, very sensitive. There's plenty of us sitting in our seats this morning saying, I'm not telling anybody. I'm not going to let anybody know I'm struggling with whatever you're struggling with. You may not even know you're struggling yet, except for the fact that you do know you're distant from God. That in itself is a tragedy. So I just want to pray a prayer. And when I finish praying, I'd like to invite you to, on the back of your connection card, if you would admit, I need some help. It may not be drug addiction or alcohol addiction. It may not be something Teen Challenge can work with. But that's what the church is for. To help rescue and to help heal. Let the family of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ be the change agent in your life. And just right on the back of that connection card, in the part that's listed for a comment or a prayer, say, I'd like to talk to somebody about just my life. Or something, you make up the words, but we'll understand. And we'll get in contact with you and hopefully see some life change in the same way that the faces, I love the faces of the videos. It's my favorite part. Watching the before and after. There's a really, really wonderful after God has in store for you. The last song is true, flawless. Because when you come to Christ, He sees you covered in Jesus' blood and He sees you flawless. It's truth. It's truth. So let's have a word of prayer and we're going to go out and give God glory. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll touch lives here this morning. Motivated by the testimonies of the students of Teen Challenge, recognizing that you are a God who has the power to change lives, Lord. Not just addicted lives, addictions to substances, but you have the power to change lives addicted to themselves. Life addicted to success or money or pride or self-image. God, help us to see the devil doesn't care what brand of sin we buy into, just as long as we buy it. So Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that all across this place you'd be speaking to our hearts and we'd be willing to take the first step like all of these students did and said, I need some help. I know Jesus is the answer. I just don't know how to go about that. I need some help. Lord, I thank you that the church is available. Church isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer. But we are your vehicles, Lord, to lead each other to Christ. So I praise you, Lord, for just the more life change that will happen as a result of today. We thank you, God. We glorify you. And we want to give you praise one more time for the work that you've done in our lives. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the strong Son of God, in the name of Jesus.
Would you stand with us?